are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Probably Birds, the only radio show that might be about birds. It is 103, 17, 18, 19 on a Monday night / Tuesday morning. And did I say that I'm your host, DJ Pending? I might have forgotten that part. Let me start again. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Probably Birds, the only radio show that might be about birds. I'm your host, DJ Pending. It is 103, 39, 40, 41 on a Tuesday night / No, I did it wrong again. I might have done it right the first time, but give me another chance here. It's late. It's been a week since I've been here. It's been 2 weeks, in fact. It's been a hop, skip, and dare I say even a jump. And I'm adjusting my microphone levels. It's a mess. But let's try one more time. Everyone with me. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Probably Birds, the only radio show that might be about birds. I'm your host, DJ Pending, and it is 104, 18, 19, 20 on a Monday night / Tuesday morning. And I think I did that right. You can let me know in the comments below. Not that there's comments, because it's a live show. Welcome to my live show that's on the radio in Medford. What is this show? This is the show where I play 30 minutes worth of music, and I talk for 30 minutes, and I don't plan what I'm going to talk about. And so it's just a lot of words, and it's a lot of sounds. And I hope you're ready for that kind of experience. It's late at night. I don't think people care too much of this that at this hour what I do. And so the story behind tonight is that last night, the previous night, when I was in bed, I had a realization that I had a radio show today, right now, that I'm doing currently. And last night, I simultaneously remembered that I did not make a playlist for this radio show. And so I thought I could go through the normal process where I pick out reasonable songs to play on the radio and kind of have a good variety. Or I can take the lazy way out and just play very long songs. And so you just heard two short songs. You heard Scene Sick by Diet Sig, followed by the Probably Birds theme song by my uncle and cousin. And the other three songs of the night, and there are only three left, are very long songs because I didn't want to go through the hassle of picking out more than three songs. So they're each about, you know, it ranges from 7 to 12 minutes, basically, each track. And I hope you enjoy them. I was lazy. It's been a lazy kind of... I don't want to say lazy. I'm trying to be restful. And that is because spring break has just ended. Maybe we'll talk more about spring break throughout the show. We probably will. I've got some thoughts on it that I've yet to discover. We're going to discover them together. But spring break just ended, which means I'm still sort of getting back into the groove of doing regular work at sort of an adequate level. And currently, we're sort of subpar of that level, if you can't tell. But that's okay. It's only Monday. It's the first day. I think everyone has to get back in the swing of things a little bit. And I'm certainly still swinging on in there to continue the swing imagery. Today actually was somewhat tragic, wherein I had to wake up at... Well, I usually wake up around 9 to 9:30. On Mondays, but I had to actually get out of bed before 9:30, and that's the trouble. I had to get out of bed, and I had to move my car, because my friend, / a person who lives in the same house of me, had to move his car, and I was blocking him in our driveway. And so I did that. I thought, all right, Chris probably has a job interview or something. That's fine. I later learned, and this is fine too, but I later learned that Chris was in fact taking two other friends of mine shopping, grocery shopping. But the real tragedy emerges where I am usually the person who takes these individuals shopping, not Chris. And I imagine that these people asked Chris to do it because they know that I don't like to wake up early. But in fact, I still had to wake up early. This is a terrible story. There's no punchline, guys. This is just the story of my morning and why. I mean, it's not even something to really be upset about. I had to be out of bed before 9:30. For many people, that's a very reasonable, some might say even luxurious. Many people, that would be a luxurious life. But not me, guys. I'm a night owl. That's why I'm here at 108, 16, 17, 18 on a Monday night / Tuesday morning. Because I avoid the early morning. And I don't know if I've talked about it on the radio show before. And I don't know if anyone listens anyways. But I have nothing against being awake early in the morning. I like being, in fact, I quite enjoy being up, especially like when no one else is up yet and the streets are empty and it's still sort of cool and there's like a gray pre-dawn light or whatever it is, and you're walking around and the birds are up and you're with, there you go, probably birds. We're talking about birds. The birds are up and they're chirping around and they're getting the worm because they're the early birds. And maybe I am too in this situation. That's really nice. I really like that sort of vibe. It's not the being awake. It's the getting out of bed that's always troublesome for me. And that's the case, be it, you know, 5 a.m. or 11 a.m., essentially. It's just the first hurdle I have to jump over in the day is also the hardest hurdle. And that is the hurdle of just rolling out of bed, taking a shower, brushing my teeth, doing the other things that people do in the morning that they're expected to do. It's hard for me because my bed is comfortable, okay? My bed is really nice. It's not fantastic, but it beats being out of my bed, or so it seems, in the moment. It's like an activation energy thing, kind of thing where I mean, you can picture it. You've been in my position, I'm sure. You're in bed, your covers are on, you've got pillows, you haven't really gotten your blood flowing yet, and it's just easy to sit there, languid, right? Let yourself, I don't know, fester? No, that's gross. But let yourself, I don't know, you think of a word. It could be like this is like a Mad Lib show, where sometimes I won't say words and you can fill in the blanks. And I think that's interesting. It's sort of, we're moving beyond traditional radio here. It's very audience participation, except I have no idea what you're saying. And there's probably meaning to be derived from that relationship. I mean, you can make meaning out of anything. And with that being said, I'm going to play some more music, and then I'm going to come back and talk for a bit. So here's the first of three more songs of the night. Hope you enjoy. You are a beautiful, wonderful person, and I'm happy that you are listening to me here right now. And I'm happy if you're not doing that too, because you're wonderful. Okay, here's the song. Oh my god. Whoa. Sorry. Okay, yes, sorry. My headphones were on way too loud. I just, you know, I was screaming in my own ears. And isn't that poetic? Anyways, we just heard Reflector by Arcade Fire. And that was it, because we're doing the radio show where we play only very long songs, because I was too lazy to make a real playlist. Now we're going to have a PSA. I'm required to read these. Not that I mind it too much. In fact, I've messed it up, guys. It's that kind of day, as you are probably already aware if you've been listening to the podcast, where normally I pull out the right PSA beforehand, so I don't have to shuffle through it live on air. But unfortunately, I forgot to do that this time, so just give me a second here. Here we go. Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. Okay, that was our PSA, and now I've got time to kill. And a lot of times that is what this feels like, killing time. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something more tangible, like spring break. I just had it. And you might be asking, DJ Pending, what did you do? Or you might not be asking that, but I don't know why you've tuned in, so I'm just going to keep going. My spring break, what did I do? I went back home. That's step one. I got on a plane. It was kind of crowded at the airport, but no issues. I got through security. I got on the plane. I got off the plane. I met a guy on the plane, actually. I sat next to a guy who managed restaurants in the DC area, and he talked to me and stuff. He was nice, and I forget his name. It might have been like Todd or Tim or Terry. I think it was a T name. It might not have been. But so, let's call him Todd. Todd was nice. He thought I was much older than I was. He said I looked old for my age. I'm 21. And I don't think I look old, but it might be the fact that I was sort of in need of a shave, and that made me look older. Or maybe Todd was... Well, I don't know. I was going to say maybe Todd was just being optimistic, but I don't know what he'd be hopeful for in this case. But so I talked to Todd. I got picked up by my twin brother and my friend, Max and Jacob, respectively. I went home. I was at home for a bit. I went to West Virginia to visit my sister. West Virginia. I might have talked about it before, guys, but West Virginia, one of the most beautiful states, if you ask me. In my humble opinion, it is. But it's gorgeous. And here's the thing. I've thought about it a lot. And I'm going to articulate this poorly, but West Virginia has a sort of beauty that isn't, it's not awe-inspiring so much. It's not like the Rockies or anything where these big mountains or, you know, anywhere else with dramatic geological formations and scenery. It ain't the Grand Canyon. But what you do have are these kind of rolling hills that roll up into these mountains that are beautiful, you know, they're impressive, but they're not imposing. They're approachable mountains. They're mountains that you can look at them and say, yeah, I can reach that. I can climb that. And I think that produces a sort of kinship with the land between, you're not dwarfed by your surroundings, and that makes the land much more comfortable, I think. Not necessarily, well, what is beauty? Let's not talk about that, because I have no idea how to discuss that. But I know that West Virginia is beautiful. And in amongst all this, you have not like urban areas so much. I mean, there are, I'm sure, urban areas of West Virginia. I haven't been to them. But there are like sprinklings of houses and farms here and there. And it's not crowded. And it's not, in most areas, it's not like the human factor overtakes the natural factor. It kind of, the most beautiful places, I think, are where the humans are sort of dispersed sporadically into the nature. And it's nice. It feels very human. It feels very natural, very approachable, very comfortable. And some people don't see West Virginia. I learned this. I was telling a friend of mine that, oh my God, West Virginia is gorgeous. And she's like, well, I don't know if I can share your opinion, but, you know, I'm happy for you, which was a very diplomatic way of approaching this. But Hallie, if you're listening, and let me tell y'all, she's not. But I stand firm in my convictions as I, well, I'm not a very firm conviction kind of guy. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty open to being swept whichever way the wind blows. Maybe not. I don't want to say that and get in trouble later for people thinking that I'm impressionable about certain topics. Let's stop being vague and talk about something else. I went to West Virginia. It was gorgeous. Drove there. And I have this issue where whenever I drive in the vaguely southwesterly direction, I drive through a city in Virginia called Front Royal. I think it's actually called Front Royal, but I call it Front Royal. And I don't like that city. And it's nothing particular about this city. I'm sure it's a fine place to live if you're from there. I don't know who the hell's from there. But it's, I just have a reaction to it. I have a repulsion to it. I mean, you know there are those people in life, and these people are few and far between, but they do nothing wrong. And you know, you're not mean to them, but there's just a repulsion between you and this individual. If you know what I mean, that's great. If not, live a bit more life. I'm not going to claim I have more life experience than you, but different life experience. Anyways, that's me, the repulsion, me and the entire city of Front Royal. And somehow I always end up driving through there without fail. I've driven, like it sounds insane, but without fail, I end up going through there. And it's not a terrible place, but I drove to West Virginia. I drove back. I got on a plane. Guess what? I'm back at Tufts. I've started my classes again. I'm getting back in the swing. I mentioned that. And I've been having stress dreams. I could talk about my dreams. I had a dream this morning, actually, before I had to wake up to move my car. I had a dream that I missed waking up to move my car. And in my dream, I was like, oh my God, I have to get up and try to move my car and see if Chris is going to be late for something. And I have to get to class after that. And it was all very stressful. And it kind of set the whole day off wrong, as dreams can do. Why do they have so much power over us? I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. No, well, I should be. I don't know why dreams do what they do, but I've been carrying this stress in my chest all day, and I've been able to release some of it. I've relaxed. I've been breathing. I've been sort of making sure I stay settled, and over time, I've been getting less stressed. But anyways, that's enough talking for now. I'm going to play another song. I hope you enjoy it because I really care about you. And, you know, you're important and you're a fantastic, wonderful human being. So here's another song. I hope you enjoy. I'll be back after like 8-9 minutes. Yeah, I love you. Great. Here we go. Buckle up. Almost going to happen. Thank you. right, everyone. We just heard Touch Me, I'm Going to Scream Part 2 by My Morning Jacket. What a tune. What a bop. And let's talk, because that's what I do in this show. Let's talk. I was thinking over the course of that song about student athletes, and more specifically about student athletes at Tufts, and even more specifically about the fact that I don't really know any of them. Which is strange at Tufts, because I know a bit of everyone. You know, I know the artsy kids and the hipster kids, and I know the nerds. I don't know if nerds are a thing anymore, but I know the engineers and the arts people and the econ people and the comp sci people. Like, Tufts is really a wonderful place where I'm able to know a very diverse amount of people and interact with them all regularly and together with all of them. Like, it's a very multidisciplinary sort of community. And that's reflected in the groups of people I see regularly, except for student athletes, which, it's strange. I see them around a lot. There are a lot of them. And I should add real quick, that I do interact with, Quidditch players a lot. I'm hip. I'm, like, you know, tight with the quid folk, but not with any of the other athletes. I won't call them real athletes because I'll make people mad, but the people who play sports that are actually part of, like, a division, if you know what I mean. And so I see them around, and they have a certain look to them, and I'll say now, I'm probably going to stereotype and maybe even be a bit prejudiced towards this group. And that's because I'm not a part of them. A, I'm not a part of their group. And B, I don't have any regular interactions with members of that group. And that just kind of gives rise to these sort of, you know, stereotypes and prejudices. And it's not a great dynamic. So take everything I say with the knowledge that that is the lens I'm coming at it from. I want to fully acknowledge that. And then I want to say that student athletes are terrible people. All of them. Not really. They're fine, I'm sure. I'm sure most of them are fantastic. But I see them, and they're always wearing... And once again, the generalizations... I've had my preface. You know what's up. I'm aware of my own bias, my own lack of nuance and subtlety. They're always wearing sweatpants and, like, these zip-up, like, windbreakers or whatever they are, and they have their student-athlete backpacks, and they wear hats, and they walk around... Sometimes alone, sometimes in groups up to four. And I never hear them saying anything either. They're always just walking. Maybe they just don't like talking near me because they can tell that I'm not a person who especially values physical fitness in my life. Not that I devalue it. I think fitness is great. It's fantastic. And everyone should, you know, do what they can to be in a place of physical health because that helps all sorts of things. But I don't go out of my way to be physically healthy. I'm very fortunate in that I am generally, and I'll say generally, I'm generally a physically healthy person without my having to really try. And as soon as, you know, my metabolism slows down or whatever, all my life decisions are going to hit me like a truck. And the effect on my body might be as if I've been hit by a literal truck, because, guys, it's not going to be pretty. But for now, I'm living the good life. And student athletes are too, I guess. Just a completely separate life from me. Although we share the same spaces, we go to the same classes, there's no overlap. And I wasn't always this way. I used to be, believe it or not, an athlete. I played baseball, and I played soccer, and that's about it. But I still am a somewhat active person. I bike and stuff, or I pretend to bike because I'm the president of Tufts Bikes, and people expect me to bike, so I tell them that I do. And I love biking. I ski, kayak, canoe, all that good stuff, and I used to play sports. I played soccer the longest, maybe. I was on, for a very long time, since, like, early elementary school, a team called the Blue Dragons. And at first we did, like, kind of okay. And then the two best players on the team left. And then for the next, like, you know, handful of years, we lost, I think, every single game. And it wasn't terrible. I mean, you know, after, like, the third year of losing every single game in a row, we knew it was coming. It wasn't a disappointment. And so we'd show up. we'd run around and we'd kick a ball and we'd fight our best and we'd lose. And then we'd like go and eat snacks because it's, you know, a recreational soccer league and the people bring snacks and there's orange slices. There's usually a Capri Sun and it's a nice time. And during practice, we had to run a lot because we weren't very well behaved, I guess. And so Jacob especially, the same Jacob who who picked me up from the airport, would make us have to run. He would, you know, talk when he wasn't supposed to be talking, and he would be yelled at. Our coach, Coach Don, would say, soccer is a running sport, Jacob, and then we'd all run. Coach Don actually took me and Jacob and my twin brother fly fishing last summer. That's a whole other story that I won't get into. But so I played soccer. After a very long time in the Blue Dragons, I switched to the Oysters was the team because the Blue Dragons disbanded. And the Oysters, I think, did very well. My understanding is that we finished top of the league. And so it just goes to show you that it takes a team to lose. And that team was the Blue Dragons. I also played baseball. That was a rip-roaring time. I hit balls. I never played, like, you know, big boy baseball, if you want to call it that. And I do, and I have. I played the baseball where a machine pitched at you, and, you know, it was fun. I played t-ball, too. That was great. T-ball's, I think, the height of baseball. I don't think people are going to argue with that. Because it's just on a tee. It makes it easy. And when you're a kid, you always hit the tee anyways because you don't have any coordination and you run the wrong way. One time, here's a story for you, a quick one before I leave again and play music. I was playing t-ball. I hit the ball. I guess it was a good hit. I ran the bases and I reached all the way. I think I ran all the way home. And then I promptly threw up. But I got the score, so... Jessica, I was in it to win it from a very young age. But that being said, I'm going to play the last song of the night. I'll come back. We'll talk about loving yourself and self-care, I suppose. We will. I like doing that, I think. I do. Maybe. Yeah. I'm gonna play music. I hope you enjoy. You are wonderful, valuable, beautiful. And, you know, be nice to yourself. Because you deserve that. Here we go. Last song.
Thank you.
That was The Past is a Grotesque Animal by Of Montreal. And if I had the time, I'd play the next track, which is, what is it? Something, Bunny Ain't No Kind of Rider, I think is what it is. Because the transition is wonderful between those two songs. I would play it. I don't have time. And also, I've played that song before on this show, I think. And one thing I don't talk about on this show is that I never play the same song twice. And so you've heard, if you've listened to every single show I've done, and I'm sure no one has, but if you have, you've heard over 200 different songs. And it makes it hard to make playlists, which is why we did the whole long ones. But anyways, let me say real quick, you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. This has been Probably Birds. I have been DJ Pending, your DJ for the show. And I hope it's, we talked about birds a bit. That usually doesn't really happen, I think. Maybe it does. I don't really keep track. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about you and how you deserve all the care and kindness and affection in the world. Or if not all of it, at least a substantial amount of it. Because you are a nice person. We're talking about self-care. I do this on the show. It's consistency. I think I promised that I'd have a jingle, but I don't. Self-care. I don't have anything concrete to really offer this show. Usually I try to offer something concrete, but let's just think happy thoughts about you. Let's think about all the wonderful things you do. It's hard for me to do this in many ways because I don't know who you are, but I do know that you're here on this planet, breathing the same air that I breathe, you know, going to the same supermarket maybe, or maybe a different supermarket, but it's owned by the same Dutch parent organization. So really, what's the difference? I wouldn't know, but you're here and I'm happy you're here. Genuinely, I am. Even if I don't know you, it's nice to know that you're out there somewhere. And I just want you to know that people care about you and that you deserve that care and that affection and that kindness and that love from people. Because, oh my gosh, it's hard to be people sometimes. It's hard to be a human being here. But, I mean, look at you. You're doing it. And not everything always goes according to plan, but you're still here. And you're still doing the best you can, given your circumstances. And I think that's beautiful. And I think you're beautiful. So there you go. I hope that means something to someone out there. And now for the last part of the show where I try to fill a bit of time. I was thinking, as we were listening to The Past is a Grotesque Animal, I was thinking about the Oxbow Lake and how at one point I knew how they formed. And now at this point, currently, I don't. An Oxbow Lake, for those of you who don't know, is a lake that forms near a river, and it's kind of shaped like a crescent moon. This is all, I never learned this, really, but I think it's a lake near a river that's shaped like a crescent moon. And I think the idea is that at some point, the river ran through the Oxbow Lake, like the Oxbow Lake was part of the river, but then something changed. There's like a landslide or a mudslide, which is kind of like a wet landslide when you think about it. But there was a landslide or a wet landslide, also known as a mudslide or an earthquake, maybe. Something caused the river to change course or to dry up in that particular area. And it leaves a section of the river behind. And that section is the Oxbow Lake. That is my best guess as to what an Oxbow Lake is and how it forms. And I hope that helps anyone. I mean, I think people might learn about them when you learn about the water cycle. I never did. They're kind of a weird detail. I don't know if they're real. I'll say that right now. I'm pretty sure they're real. For a while, I thought they weren't real. And I don't know why I've been exposed to Oxbow Lakes throughout my life so many times. And furthermore, I don't know why I can't retain any substantial concrete information about them, but if you want to know what an oxbow, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. Oxbow, it's spelled O-X-B-O-W, Oxbow. That's an Oxbow by Lake. This is Probably Birds, and I hope you have a wonderful night. So please do take care. Excellent.